with the doctrine of humility, and I think that it is just as apropos as our study that we had recently on the doctrine of warfare, because the antithesis of humility is now being seen in the Persian Gulf on the part of, for example, Saddam Hussein. The thing that motivates the thinking of many tyrannical dictators is obviously arrogance. And the more arrogant a person becomes, the more unwise he becomes, the more stupid his choices are. And quite frankly, in listening to others who are considerably more rational than he, have made it very clear that it is sheer suicide and idiocy for anyone to think that they can go against the forces that are now engaged in the Persian Gulf. I know personally, if I was the head of state of any particular nation except the United States, and I got on the wrong side of the U.S., I would very quickly resume diplomatic relations and try to alter whatever that circumstance was that caused that particular rift. The man is obviously thinking with other than his brain, because humility is rational. Humility is teachable. Humility is sensible. In the Christian life, we will see that that becomes the very foundation on which the teachability factor is built, so that they, the believer, can learn and grow in grace. I should add to that then this statement: you cannot grow as a believer if you are arrogant, because you are unteachable. You cannot grow past the point of your arrogance. Because you see, even in the minutest areas of the Word of God, there are those in arrogance who deny certain principles. A perfect example of that is the entire denominational groups that do not believe in the security of the believer from the standpoint of once saved, always saved. There's arrogance. You see, they can't be teachable. They cannot understand that somebody else can do something on their behalf and cause them the greatest security that anyone has ever enjoyed on the face of the earth. Whether you call it eternal security or temporal security, it is security, but it is not based on our thinking. I'm not secure tonight because I am so great, or that I'm oblivious of the fact that there are mitigating circumstances that may cause me otherwise. I am secure tonight because God said it, I believe it, and that's it. I am secure because the Word of God proclaims it. You see, I am teachable. Because the degree to which you are arrogant, that is the degree to which you will suffer the consequence of not being able to be taught. And therefore, without that teachability factor, there is no grace orientation. You will find that people who are arrogant deny categorically anything having to do with orientation to grace. So let's review again, as we studied this in past weeks, what we actually studied. Humility, under point three, as a system of thinking doctrine, becomes a way of life. So you see, it isn't something that you simply shift into. It isn't something that you simply say to yourself that I must do. As we mentioned this morning, it is not something that you relate to after the fact. It is a way of life. It is the norm for the Christian. It becomes the normal thinking of the believer who is oriented to the divine dynasphere and has availed himself of that power that enables him to live the humble life. Point four, as a system of thinking, humility is freedom from the cosmic system, specifically cosmic one, which of course is arrogance in various forms. Remember that originally we taught that the arrogance complex involves some 20-some-odd gates. I found that a lot of these gates were correlated, and so when I made up that arrogance complex, or cosmic one, that I passed out to you quite a few months ago, I reduced it down to about 9, I believe. The reason for that is because, number one, it became very laborious, very difficult for you to declassify each of them. And then I found a lot of them ran into each other, and so I kind of bulked them. And yet, when you stop to think about it, all of the arrogance areas are involved in Cosmic One. And so you see, as a way of life, it frees you from that. As a way of life, point 5, humility is grace orientation and capacity for life. You'll also find not only is the arrogant believer minus grace orientation, but you'll find that he has no capacity to enjoy life. That is in general. They are miserable people. Arrogant people are not happy people. Arrogant people cannot relate to life in general. They cannot relate to life specifically. They have great difficulty in enjoying things in life because, you see, in their arrogance, they're blinded to the enjoyable things. You'll find, by the way, that oftentimes arrogant people only enjoy what happens to others in calamity. They build their life on other people's unhappiness. They laugh when they see something that is not related to them. Why? Because they are so introspective, they are so self-regarding, that if anything happens to them, they are deeply upset, but as long as it doesn't happen to them, their happiness is built on that fact. Whereas a humble person is not only able to relate to life awaredly, that is from the standpoint of awareness and realistically, but when he sees a brother in need, when he sees a friend that has a problem, when he sees a fellow believer that is suffering some pain, he can enter in not only sympathetically and empathetically, but he can enter in prayerfully and consider that individual more than just simply somebody he can use. Statements, for example, such as, "I have no use for that man." Analyze that, if you would. That's an arrogant statement. Where did you ever get the idea that you could use the person to begin with? People are not created to be used or manipulated, but arrogant people love to manipulate other people. They like to be the guide and the director and the head of a situation. They are always promoting themselves into areas of elevation to the point where they seek the top. They can never be subordinate. You know anybody like that? Satan was that way. Again, as mentioned this morning, he had illusions of grandeur. He thought as a creature he could in fact be as God. In fact, he went so far as to say that he could dethrone God. That's arrogance. You say, well, that's preposterous. That's my point. Point 6, as a way of life, humility includes, as one of its many expressions, a recognition and submission to legitimate authority. There it is. Because arrogant people cannot legitimately subordinate to any form of authority. You see, when authority comes into their presence, they are threatened by that authority. This is one of the things that military personnel learn very, very early in the outset of their basic military training. You know why those DIs appear to be so mean? In fact, they might be. Because they've got to get that arrogance out of the individual. An arrogant soldier is worthless. An arrogant soldier cannot serve. An arrogant soldier is a loser and a casualty on the battlefield. And unfortunately, you see, that arrogance tends to perpetuate itself because too often the lack on the part of that one individual may cause the lives of many who are directly related within the scope or periphery of that individual. That's why it's so dangerous. And so too in the Christian life. Arrogant people tend to draw down positive believers. Be careful. And sometimes they have such sweet, sounding, attractive offers. But it's all based on one thing: to get their way and to use you for their purposes. Point 7, humility is freedom from pride and arrogance. Humility cannot and does not exist inside the cosmic system. So every time you get out of fellowship, the one thing you do is shed legitimate humility. It would be the same, for example, as you are in the divine dynasphere, and you have, as it were, this represents a cloak, the cloak of humility. Let's get your head in there so you're able to see. You are then able to move about within the divine dynasphere from the filling of the Spirit to all of the various areas, especially the teachability factor of Gate 4. When you get out of fellowship, you leave the cloak of humility in the divine dynasphere, for it is not found in either Cosmic 1 or Cosmic 2. There's no humility in Cosmic 1 or Cosmic 2. Why? Because the antithesis is characteristic of Cosmic 1. Ignorance through arrogance. And arrogance has no humility factor whatever. And by the way, this has been one of the most destructive things in the area of not only local churches from the conspiratorial aspect, but from the standpoint of the arrogant believer ever growing and ever succeeding in the Christian life. In this case, A is not for effort nor a grade to be achieved. It is an A for arrogance. I would much rather see you clothed with the humility robe of righteousness through the filling of the Spirit. Humility then is the freedom from pride and arrogance. Humility cannot and does not exist inside the cosmic system. Humility, by the way, point 8, is not self-effacement. Now, that is one of the unfortunate understandings or assumptions that when somebody is humble, they simply are self-effacing. You know, they go around looking rather strange, they speak kind of softly, and they never offer any suggestions lest they should offend anyone. That is not humble. That's just simply being quiet and round-shouldered and not saying anything. I don't know where we ever got the idea that humility in some form is depicted in this kind of a weakling-type creature that kind of slithers from one room to another without opinion. That's not humility. Our Lord was humble. And yet, obviously, when you study when he was confronted, look at the many confrontations that he had with individuals, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, his own disciples, the multitudes, how he dealt with them. He was humble in his dealings with them, and yet he was heard, and in some cases, he was sarcastic. See, we have the idea that if you raise your voice, you're out of fellowship. If you're sarcastic, you've sinned. If you discipline your children, you are out of fellowship and sinned. I've been in churches where children run up and down the auditorium, banging on the piano, screaming and yelling as they crawl under the seats of the pews. And I said that when I got here the first day, the first hour, the first moment. I'd better never see that. And occasionally we have a child stray in here, and all of a sudden I see a mother, like a blur, go after him and grab them, and boy, they get scooted out the door because the tyrant is still here, you see. Now, I don't know what goes on when I'm not here. I suspect they probably scream and yell and run under the seats. But I don't want to ever see it. because this auditorium is not a playground, and it's not a place for children to run about. It's out there. Now, you would feel insulted if I took you out there by the playground and said, I will teach you as I'm going down the slide, or I will stand on the monkey bars and give you instruction from the Word of God. Well, therefore, if that is the case, and it is, I don't expect those that would do that out there to try it in here. Point taken? Humility, then, is not a form of asceticism or even sincerity. You will find that oft times that people who are arrogant are very sincere. And as my old Scotch pastor used to say, they're sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. And he was right. Where did we ever get the idea that sincerity is somehow honorable? A lot of people, listen, Saddam Hussein is sincere in his efforts. Hitler was sincere. Mussolini was sincere. The Japanese who went into kamikaze aircraft were sincere. Don't ever equate sincerity with humility or any viable or recognizable asset. Sincerity can be very, very misleading, because if you're sincere about a thing that you're wrong, it is sincerity directed in the wrong direction. Same with zeal, because zeal is simply an expression of sincerity. You can be zealous and zealously wrong. The Jehovah's Witnesses are zealous. What other group, by the way, that you know would send out representatives? We don't do it to evangelize the world. You say, well, they're, you know. The communists are sincere. The communists are evangelistic. They send forth their bad news. The Mormons are sincere. You know, think about it. That church, and excuse the expression, church, but that group is less than 150 years old. And through the ministry of men like Joseph Smith and Brigham Young and its subsequent followers, there are thousands upon hundreds of thousands of missionaries throughout the world. Why? Because they're compelled to go. Under the dictates of the Mormon ecclesiastical system, you've got to set aside so much time and dedicate that to the mission field. I could just see my trying to get you to do that. You'd leave the church. Of course, we don't have those orders, and therefore, I'm not even going to try to do it. But ask you to witness to your neighbors? Well, that's strange. Why should I do that? They might get saved. I mean, after all, they'll start coming to church. And the church might increase, and we might have some impact. And we'll constitute a stronger pivot. I don't want to do that. Must be your thinking. Was that sarcastic enough? It was intended to be. Asceticism is basically hypocrisy, or in most cases, sheer stupidity. It is a form of pride. It is a form of arrogance. You'll find that most ascetics, or most who are involved in self-effacement, are extremely proud of the fact that they're doing it. That's why they're doing it. They want to flaunt their self-effacement in the presence of the world. All forms of asceticism are related to the most subtle forms of arrogance. Point 9, humility is a state of honor and integrity. It is living inside the divine dynasphere as a part of gate 3. There's where genuine humility comes in. And humility becomes the motivation for your, quote, station in life, as per Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Point 10, humility is not humiliation or mortification. Proverbs 15:33 says, the respect for the Lord is instruction for wisdom, and before honor there must come humility. There is no honor without humility. So honorable people are humble people, and they are not humble because they live a life of self-effacement. They are not humble because they live a life of some form of asceticism. They've given this up, or they've given that up, or they deprive themselves of some essential of life. That's not humility. That's stupidity. God doesn't require that of us. Nowhere in the Scriptures are we told to give things up as unto the Lord. No, no. Nowhere in the Scriptures has anyone else the right to tell us what we should give up. And of course, depending upon what group you belong to, the degree to what you give up is proportionate to the group that you belong to. In some churches, you're not allowed to drink, but you're allowed to chew. As a matter of fact, I've even heard of churches where they have spittoons in the local assemblies, so you can lean over every so often and one out. Now, I would be against that. I personally think that it's an abomination. But you'll notice that we have ashtrays strategically located throughout the outside of the buildings. And the reason for that is because, frankly, we got fed up in seeing all the cigarette butts around. They're an awful-looking thing to begin with. Then eventually, they're not biodegradable, and then the filters came out, and you have all these white little things floating around. So we tried to accommodate the smokers. We had some problems there because some people felt that we would encourage it. You'll find, by the way, that people will do it regardless. And I've even asked, for example, that people avoid smoking in front of the building only because of visitors that might see that, and probably because they're weak would have a problem with it, and some continue to puff away in the front of the building. There's nothing you can do about it. I even asked, for example, neither my wife or I during the raising of our children, smoke, drank, play cards, dance, or went to movies. You say, well, what success did you have? All four of them smoked, drank, played cards, danced, and went to movies. But we didn't know about it. So what we raised was four sneaks. That's what legalism does for you. It creates sneaks. And then they became so relaxed when we told them they could, and many of them stopped after that. That's true. We said, well, now it's all right. And they said, well, we gave it up. Isn't that amazing? No, it isn't amazing. When you build your life on standards that are not biblical, don't expect results other than results that are not biblical, and therefore results that fail. But when you build your life on doctrinal principles and they are properly inculcated into the mind of those children, you do have, in fact, a passage on which to build hope. When they're old, they'll not depart. Or they may in the meantime, but we have that encouragement. When they're old, they'll not depart, if you've taught them. Age has a way of bringing out the best in people. It also has a way of bringing out the worst in people, but that's not our subject. Humility is not humiliation, therefore, or mortification, which means, of course, you don't go around eating humble pie and offering it to others. You'll notice that as a part of this passage, respect for the Lord is personal love for God and one of the characteristics of spiritual self-esteem. And so you can see that as the believer begins to develop within the divine dynasphere and begins to build enough doctrine to where he can move from gate 4 to gate 5 and subsequently gate 6, there is where spiritual self-esteem begins. That's where motivation, it really has its thrust, and that's where true humility begins to reveal itself in a very positive manner. You see, there's basic humility, which simply makes the believer teachable. Then there's the advanced stages of humility, which gives him the extra momentum and push when necessary. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2 states, "When arrogance comes, then comes dishonor." You notice how many times humility is connected with honor and arrogance with dishonor. But with the humble is wisdom. Humility, then, is wise. Proverbs 29:23, "A person's arrogance will bring him low, but a spirit of humility will attain..." What would you expect the next word would be? Honor. Point 13, humility is first of all a mental attitude directed toward yourself. Then it becomes a mental attitude directed toward other people. How then is humility directed toward self? Well, you must have an understanding of who you are, your limitations, your abilities, and your lack. And arrogant people never see that. They always think they can do great things, and they don't have the wherewithal to do it. The quintessence of arrogance, of course, is the believer who thinks he can live the Christian life in the energy of the flesh. And that is why a lot of believers never, ever go past any point of their Christian life, because they think they can do it. And so God says, you can't do it. And they say, I can do it. I don't know about you, but that's a conflict. Now I ask you, who do you think is going to win that conflict? God who says you can't do it, or man who says you can do it? Some believers try to keep themselves saved. God says, you can't keep yourself saved. I keep you saved. And therefore, because of the fact that man is insecure in that of himself, as soon as he tries to keep himself saved, what happens? His automatic insecurity is then interjected into his thoughts of security. And so therefore, he has a conflict unresolved. And all he'd have to do is rely upon the security that God has preserved us with. Fear, for example. The phobic believer. The one who's afraid of the dark. The one that's afraid to do this. The one that's afraid to do that. Why are they afraid? Because they haven't become humble first with regard to themselves. And then, of course, it's directed toward God in saying, I can trust in you. As I mentioned this morning, arrogant people have difficulty sleeping. They have difficulty sleeping only because of the fact that when they sleep, they know they don't have charge of things. They don't have control of things. Because as you know, when you're sleeping, you are oblivious of what's going on around you. And so you kind of sleep with kind of one eye open. You don't get a good night's sleep that way. But you see, the Lord says, you will lie down and you will sleep, and you will sleep peaceably, and you will sleep, and your sleep will be sweet. Why? Because I will protect you. Don't you see? Humility is really relying upon the available power to sustain us, and realizing within oneself it's the inability for us to sustain ourselves. That's not very popular today. What's popular today is the fullness of arrogance. Learning how to be assertive, how to be confident. And in business, assertive people are acceptable. They're arrogant. I learned a long time ago that there were certain functions within the local assembly that I was incapable of doing. One of the reasons why I was incapable of doing it is because I didn't want to do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? We tend not to do what we don't want to do. We avoid it like a plague. And so I had to rely upon those men within the assembly to do it for me. It took some time, but we now have capable individuals, and the church just runs beautifully in that particular realm without my supervision, whatever. I don't need to interfere at all. Isn't there all the time? Some people have even accused me of not getting involved enough. I don't have to get involved. And the only time I do get involved is when I see that something isn't working, and then I have to step in. But I've not done that in years. Why? Because we've had capable people. I might add, by the way, that years ago, I was living in Frantic Palace because of some of the, quote, leadership that we had here, or the lack thereof. And I think it reflected itself in my ministry. You know, when you talk and there's a quiver in your voice all the time, they're suspect. You have great difficulty in teaching on anything that's secure. But this is a very secure local assembly. It's a very sound local assembly. It's considerably sounder than others that I've visited, some of them twice, sometimes three and four times the size. We may be small, but we're mighty. And we're not mighty because we have strength within ourselves. We're not mighty because we are individually capable. Oh, no, 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 no. Our strength is that we've learned a long time ago not to trust in self, but to trust in Him. He's our strength. And by the way, if that is not your goal in your Christian life, go somewhere else. Because you won't be happy here. You'll find we won't put up with your arrogance. And if we won't, I won't. Humility, then, as first of all being a mental attitude, is directed towards self. And then you see how easy it is when your mind has been resolved within the area of realism. Not fantasy. Arrogant people are constantly living in fantasy, Disney World life, goals that are unachievable, aims and directions that no one could reach. They certainly. Others might, but they can't, because their arrogance becomes the very stumbling block of their success. You see, they haven't learned yet the basic principle that you're not promoted until you're promoted by the Lord. And when the Lord promotes you, then you're promoted. When I was in the service, wouldn't it have been absurd, for example, for me as an enlisted man and at the rank of sergeant to decide that I didn't like that rank? And so I went out and bought myself 2 gold stars and put one on each shoulder and marched around the base with 2 gold stars on each shoulder. That's arrogance. See, that's self-promotion. That's what an arrogant person does. What they don't know is that everybody else is laughing at them. And as most of you know, that is not only a violation of base policy, but it's against the articles of the military, and therefore you can get very seriously court-martialed in the impersonation of an officer. You find yourself in Leavenworth for some time for putting 2 stupid little gold bars, or rather, even gold bars. But I mean, if you're going to impersonate, you might as well go all the way. Put a star or 2 on, maybe 4. But see, arrogant people don't realize that there's anything wrong with that. See, the thinking is wrong. Who would think that? And others look and say, what a damn fool. But the person doesn't think so. Why? Because they're a four-star general in their own eyes. That's arrogance. When you're promoted indeed. There's no self-promotion in any field of life that's worth anything in life. Time's gone, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for giving us a further and more detailed understanding of what true humility is. For many times we have difficulty with this, especially the way the world relates the humble person. We thank thee that our Lord was a perfect example of true humility, and we are ever thankful that we are to mimic him through the power available through thee in the sphere that thou hast created for us. Dismiss us now, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. We'll see you on Tuesday night.